many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity.
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
Shut your face!
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
But it, deep down, I'm like, I'm always surprised that people listen.
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Hello and welcome to episode 20-something.
The most official counter. Did you get that on Gmail or one of those Google
apps?
It's
a widget. It's a widget that I
found. Very functional.
20-something. It knows that we're in the second season. It knows that we are now sponsored by Coca-Cola Zero.
This is now the most professional, second most professional podcast ever. Just Worsham, who are the stars of this podcast?
The stars of this podcast, episode 20-something, include Justin Worsham, Kevin Miller, and our very special guest, Mr. Michael Rayner, is here with us in dining room.
Oh, hey. Here I am.
Yes.
Hey.
You're here doing the iPod in the dining room.
I'm so sad that didn't become the name of this podcast.
I know.
I really wish it had been.
It would have been special.
And Michael just wandered in off the street, and we thought we'd give
much
him...
like a hobo.
Oh, do me a favor. Get a little closer for me, please, Michael. Is that coming?
Now I can be more demonstrative. Now that I'm closer, I'm more demonstrative. But if I go further away, I'll be quieter.
Okay.
That's how it works, right?
That's right. The opposite of what we would want, Michael.
Oh,
is this your first time doing anything audio?
I've done radio before, but what they do is they have a man sitting right next to me adjusting the volume for all my inflection.
Oh, like every sound?
Every
sound. How does
he
anticipate what you're going to say?
Well, because he's an empath. He's much like, he's from Star Trek.
Did you start playing last night, Star Trek Online?
No, why? Did something...
It came out yesterday, Star Trek Online.
Wow, thanks.
Are you a big Star Trek fan?
Thanks for...
I did.
You don't have children, do you?
Nope. I spent 6 hours yesterday playing Star Trek Online.
When somebody says, I'm doing World of Warcraft, I say, oh, enjoy not having children. how many guests have you had that have children?
A lot.
Kids,
yeah.
Don't even ask me questions about anything to do with being hip or popular. In fact, my wife went online because we're going to go see the Editors, a very popular band, if you know, familiar with them.
We don't do music.
We have children.
That's the whole thing.
I have Star Trek.
My wife was typing in the tickets today, and she's going to go see the Editors, and then it said, are you over 40? And she clicked yes and said, don't even come to this show.
You got me. The people couldn't see the look on my face. I was like, why would
I didn't understand why you were laughing. I'm like, be polite.
They couldn't shoot the 40?
Well, no, because my wife and I have this thing. We went and saw this group that we really like called Art Brute, and they're like, they're sort of this British band that's cool and hip and everything. We felt when we walked in, they were going to give us like, you know, 5 G's to just walk out because we unhip the crowd.
The parents are here. Take them out. We would have listened to the encore, but we didn't want to pay the sitter an extra $10.
so we're actually paid by a lot of the top clubs in LA not to show up.
Wow,
that's like the opposite of like Paris Hilton, who's paid to show up.
We're Skybar gives us around $6,000-$7,000 a month just to not show up. We always threaten to show up, and so
this is the most brilliant scam ever.
It's fantastic. We're not allowed in a lot of the the Viper Room right now. They don't actually give us money. They give us products. I get IMAX, things like that, anything Macintosh.
So it's not just a financial thing with this whole deal.
Well, because it's payola. It's something. It's payola. So
if they get like a gift bag or something like that, they might keep that in the back for the Rainers. They'll throw it your way.
Exactly, because they don't want us to be there because we'd be there nerding it up.
And exactly.
They can't have that. They have all their fancy, dancy people. Then they need to have it all the celebrity places.
They're checking out your Facebook. Uh-oh, the kids are going to summer camp. We got to stock up on some stuff.
That's right. So
that works into their budget. You know, we got to pay for talents. We got to pay for bartender staffing. We got to give the Rainers their stipend.
The anti-nerd.
Because we will nerd it up all across Hollywood. Because if we show up at a place, let me say this right now, immediately the 20 to 30-something Paris Hilton crowd will vacate.
But little do they know that you can't go to a concert because you have kids, right?
Well, that's the thing. They don't realize. We have a little papoose thing that we put them on our back, and so that's even part of it because they see two children. You know.
How old are the kids? Please
they
say 12.
They are 5 and 8.
That's a lot to carry in a papoose.
Yes, I know.
I think even the Native Americans let them go at 3.
I think that's a backpack or a wheelchair.
It's, Well, my children are Biafra children, to be fair. You know, they're basically 15 pounds each.
But hold on, a B average.
Biafra, no.
Oh, Biafra. I thought you said be average children. I was like, what does the academics have to do with their ability to walk?
But they're be average, so they're lightweight.
By that, you mean because they're excelling academically, they're not very physical.
You know, I've been telling you, Justin, to play more Scrabble, but you keep being glib about it.
Yeah, and that's... Wait, hold on. If I didn't play Scrabble, then I would be less fat? That was a lot of negatives in there. I apologize.
I don't understand.
I'm saying if... You're saying if I played more Scrabble...
You would have known the word he said.
Oh. Here's the thing. I don't know the word regardless, but I did hear be average. I don't think if I would have known Biafra... If I'm even pronouncing
it's
it
not
right.
A rapper.
It should be.
Well, my name is Biafra.
Was it Jello Biafra? I think there was Jello Biafra, wasn't there?
I don't know.
You are cool. I think this is all a mock.
And
thing,
you know what, Jello Biafra? You know what Jello Biafra? He's like a white nerdy dude, and I met him once, and I thought he was going to be some kind of weird, but you know, he was just as nerdy
just
as
a regular
I was.
Guy, like. And even though he has a persona. He busts caps in people's asses. Mm-hmm. He screws some bitches every now and then.
No, he was actually, and in fact, I don't even think he was a rapper. Oh. I think he was some weird punk rock guy, Jello Biafra.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
So he's very anti-establishment. He's like, I'm going to peg my pants. I don't care what year it is. I'm going to spike my hair in some neon color. Screw you, Dad.
Yeah.
But then when you meet him, he's like, I got to go to H&R Block and get my taxes done.
Pretty much that's it. I think there are a lot of folks, it's all...
He goes and he catches...
It's a charade!
Exactly. He goes and he catches a game at Hooters. That's what he does for fun. I get it. So you had Star Trek Online came out. And so to bring Mr. Rayner up to speed is that Star Trek Online is like World of Warcraft, except you create a character within the Star Trek universe.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And you exist in the Star Trek universe. It's set in the 25th century.
Right.
And all the ties to all of alliances are going down, so you can have... What? How dare you?
No, sorry.
I know you like Star Trek. No, I know secretly
it's not
on the
Star
inside.
Trek. It's he just doesn't have sleep because of the kids. Oh, that's what he's saying.
I see, but the thing is, I like Star Trek, but I'm like one of those fakers where it's like, I can go to the main characters and pretty much have their names, you know.
That makes you a fan.
I know, it makes me a fan. But then you start to say it to a fan that... A super fan, you say, oh, yeah, Geordi or Picard or whatever, the Picard maneuver, anything like that. And then all of a sudden they think you know things. Mm. And then they say, oh, remember in episode 49 when the clock two were to the planet Flip-Plop? And you're like, I don't know. Don't talk to me now. It's like sports people. Hey, I know. I like the Super Bowl. I'm excited.
I like the Super Bowl.
Two people are playing big teams, and there's going to be... And then they go, hey, what about McFeely in his backfield, and he's going to go on the left flank? I don't know. Don't go to specifics. Just go general.
So you're saying you will watch the Super Bowl because you like the idea of watching champions compete in a sport that you're entirely unaware of how it works.
I mean, I know football enough. I know there's the quarterback. I know there's the wideouts. I know there's the center. But then people will all of a sudden start saying special terms that I don't know.
You wouldn't know what a bootleg is.
Oh, I didn't know what a bootleg is.
See, a little more.
You're enough.
You're all right.
I think if you could pick up a Madden control, like a controller to play and figure out a playbook on
put
a Madden,
your kids
you're
into
a
another
good
room
football fan.
And lock the door so you can actually touch the controller.
Right.
Which, going back to the Star Trek thing, is what it cracks me up because I feel like that the Star Trek thing was kind of phasing out. You know what I mean? That it was, and it was also becoming more a part of a like pop culture. And so what happens was the people, what's the descendants of Gene Roddenberry said,
Sons of Roddenberry.
Yeah. Is that the name of their church?
No, but it's now.
It should be the name of their church, the Sons of Roddenberry, or Daughters. I don't know what he's got.
Sons and Daughters of Roddenberry. Children of Roddenberry.
There you go. He pulls an L. Ron Hubbard. That's what he does. Creates his own religion.
I can't.
Did he not?
That was an episode of, with Fry, where it's the 30th century.
You're asking the wrong people.
The animated,
he's doing the thing I told
the Fox show. You know the name of Futurama.
Futurama.
They said that in the future, Star Trek becomes a religion.
I believe
it would have been much funnier had our stupid remember the stupid name of the stupid
now,
show.
How if you had to choose?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Say Gene Roddenberry creates a god in the much in the way of L. Ron Hubbard.
You can stop now.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Okay. what if everything within the Star Trek universe starts coming true? Like all of a sudden, a Vulcan lands in the middle of Montana.
That'd be
and
sweet.
Says, hey, what's up, guys? Here's some warp speed technology. You're welcome. All right, let's blow some roofs off some bitch and Klingons. Let's do this.
And Vulcan wouldn't say those things.
I know, but here's the thing. He's going to have to pick up something from television because every alien that comes to the planet Earth, they all learn to speak the language from television.
Well, they have a universal
Weirdly
translator.
Enough, immigrants can't pick it up enough. I don't understand.
Have a universal translator.
Not since Balki have we had somebody who could just come into this country and figure it out through just watching television. Or maybe
UT
it was Bork.
Helps.
Am I thinking of Bork?
Both.
Okay.
Both, yeah.
But Balki's here's my
not
point.
An alien.
The Vulcans come in, all right? The Vulcans, they come in.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it's all real.
Yeah.
Everything's real. And then doesn't that... Then
that
it's
doesn't
like,
disprove God or make Star Trek a more
see,
real...
See, I feel like it does a little.
No, it doesn't. Because
really?
Star Trek never really fights with God. In fact, the original Star Trek, Kirk references God all the time.
I thought they met God at like some asteroid
no,
or something.
No, that was an alien. That was in the fifth movie, the one of the worst ever directed by William Shatner. It was The Final Frontier. And they go there, and William Shatner even said, what does God need with a starship? That was the worst.
See,
William
things
Shatner.
I don't know. Words. He's saying words.
William Shatner?
No. Well, I've
he's saying you're quoting the movie.
I've had four steps with Shatner. I don't know if you. How many steps of Shatner have you had?
I don't even know what that means.
What does that mean?
When I was a child, we went and saw the show Arsenic and Old Lace.
Sure. Yeah.
And William Shatner was the lead in it.
No.
Yes. This was when I was like 9 years old, and we took
That's
my.
You played Mortimer.
He played the person that helps the two old ladies.
Yeah, Mortimer.
You know, is that
so I played Mortimer in high school.
Thank you, my theater friend.
Hello.
So
that's
he played
not
Mortimer.
Nerdy.
And so he does the whole thing, and this is right after Star Trek, and then we go and get autographs, and my neighbor, who is a huge William Shatner fan, starts crying her eyes out. She's 9 years old. I'm 9 years old. And then he says, what's the matter, little lady? And he steps up on the table, and this is at the Whiting Auditorium in Flint, Michigan, and he starts dancing. He starts dancing on the table
for us.
Oh,
that's awesome.
And so we just say, oh, she's a big fan, and then blah, 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 whatever. We leave. My second Shatner encounter was right outside the coffee shop, the Coffee Fix, and because I wanted to tell him that story. And I said, are you William Shatner? And he goes... And he looks at me, and it's obviously William Shatner, but I thought I'd ask first.
Yeah, sure.
No, I'm not William Shatner. And it was like he thought I was a like Trekkie or a Trekker or one of the various fandoms. And so he wanted to eschew me at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
My third step with William Shatner.
So now you wanted to tell him both of these stories.
Well, yeah. Now I'm sitting in Aroma, and he's got this hot date. Now, this is after, remember, his one wife died in the pool accident? Yeah. He's with this hot date. And I know all he wants to do is make some girl, you know? Yeah. I mean, you know, he was trying to pull a Mick Jagger on her. And so she all wants to tell him about her church group. I saw Shatner get proselytized by a hot blonde trying to get him to come to church with her.
That's
now,
awesome.
That was awesome.
That's awesome.
You know?
What kind of church was it? Was it Scientology?
It was just regular, like, Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever.
The melting pot of the ones that, like, pro-Jesus.
Yeah, pro-Jesus. Yeah. Not one of the anti-Jesus ones. Not as popular.
Yeah, really. They never took off.
Yeah, I know. Well, Satanism. But that's a whole other story.
But that almost takes off just in its antithesis to the pro-Jesus approach. You know what I mean? That, I feel like it's only popular because there are so many people pro-Jesus that to be anti-Jesus, it gives you up a level. You know
but
what
the
I mean?
Weird thing is real Satanists are actually pro-Jesus because then they like him so they can fight him.
Oh, really? They want him to come back?
Actually, the satanic book, I do want to hear the fourth step. Actually, the Book of Satan isn't as insidious as you think. It actually reads really well.
Is it the Anton LaVey one?
I'm not sure. I was thinking the Book of the Book of Satan is the name of it. And actually it just says that you have the power, that it's all about...
This
you
Book of Satan, did Michael Crichton write that?
I wish.
No, that would be great, huh?
And then there's gorillas. So what was
or
the fourth
Or maybe it was
time?
Dan Brown. That would have been a better
So here's the fourth step of my Shatner encounter. So I audition just regular for Show Me the Money, if you remember that show.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we really like you. We might be on the show, but we want you to come in and do a test run with William, and then we could still put you on the show, maybe. So I go
now. I know what Show Me the Money is, but just for our listeners that may not know,
I'm still.
What that is.
I even did a test run,
or maybe one of our hosts.
I'm still
maybe.
Confused by it because he would say, "Show me the money," and there was like dancing girls. And there was,
was it Japanese?
There was a lot of crazy lights and things, but we were just in an office with a board that had the categories on there and the questions, so we didn't really see the full Show Me the Money effect.
Yeah.
But Do you remember? You remember he was the host of that? You don't.
I don't know what. I do know what it is, but I want you to explain it.
Yeah, it was a crazy game show where he would go, "Show me the money," and then there was
Ask the Droid.
Yeah, Ask the Droid, and so I hung out with him for like an hour.
Show me the money.
Do you actually? You
could you just type it in for the sake of the show, so no, we don't have to hear you, or turn it to the side like you're coughing?
This is more interesting.
More interesting than man telling the story about how he's actually on the frickin' show.
No, Joey McGuire. That's not it.
This is not. Yes. No.
Show me the money. Goes Jerry Maguire.
Listen,
right away.
I will be the first to profess.
Yeah.
That I do a lot of uninteresting things on the show.
That's right.
But I refuse to like.
So
give
this is my one time. All right, episode 20 something, and I get to distract us for 1 minute, and you won't even give me. That.
No.
You know what? Tell the rest of your story.
My beef is that since you got that damn thing, anytime something comes up, you have to tell it to look for something. And then
typing takes time.
You pretend that the technology is perfect.
Yeah.
And you start searching through, trying to find on page 7 when it actually shows you what you're looking for.
Yeah, let me just say
that thing is good at.
Show me the money, William Shatner. Go
that
ahead.
Thing is great at finding a restaurant, sucky at everything else.
Today I asked it. I said, "Call Gary Miller, my dad," and it kept googling Colonel Gary Miller. I was so pissed at this.
Which is also
thing.
Your dad, right?
No, it just started googling.
I thought your dad was in the military.
No, he wasn't a colonel. And it even said on the screen, "Col Gary Miller." I'm like, I don't want Colonel Gary Miller.
Strangely, he's now in the military because of it. Yeah. So,
through talking to his phone, he's been recruited.
Oh, sorry, Dad. He had a colonoscopy today, so maybe that's why.
Your dad or the actual colonel?
Wow.
I got to Google that. Hold on. Colonel Gary Miller colonoscopy.
So you're telling me that on the day that Star Trek Online comes out, your dad has to go get a colonoscopy?
The day after. So he didn't get to play as long as me.
Oh, bummer.
Or at all.
It's the culmination of my fourth step with Shatner, and I thought I could tell him all these stories, but it was very busy.
Yeah.
And then at one time, I just sort of leaned over and I said, "Hey, I'm a big fan." And I could see in his eyes he got a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to say anything else then. I didn't want to tell him any of the stories because I think he has a real fear of
everything.
Well, I'm
sure
everything.
He's been accosted crazy.
Yeah, and I won $700,000 fake dollars, and then I got a check for $50 for just playing. But because I was in the fake game show.
Oh, you were doing that.
I won. I got all the right answers, so I got $700,000 fake dollars. But then I got a check for $50.
So you still have yet to connect with him with the story when you were 9 years old.
No, not where
he
was
dancing
on. I always wanted to connect with him on that because I just think it was such an amazing thing.
It's a shame.
I want to get successful enough so I can be on Shatner's Raw Nerve.
Yeah. Have you seen that show? I haven't heard of it.
I love that show. Shatner's Raw Nerve. It's not even on.
You have two iPhones.
Right now I'm going to just talk into a cup. Shatner's Raw Nerve. If you can see this, I'm talking into a cup. Shatner's Raw Nerve.
Which is none of you.
That's a sad thing, because people from the past, when they develop time travel technology like in 1800, they won't realize that's a technology. And go, people are weird in the future. They just talk into square boxes.
Yeah.
Like that light up and have information on them.
I know.
And play droid games.
Listen, you can't win this argument.
I know, because
you're going to search for through for.
I'm going to time travel.
Why don't you search for a valid reason to talk into your phone? I got one.
Maybe
making a phone call.
Oh, you beat me to it. Fair enough.
So, can we ask why you have two iPhones sitting here?
So, one is mine, and my father died 5 weeks ago.
Oh my gosh!
And so, I have to take calls.
Oh no!
For the people that don't know, I've tried to call everybody, but on occasion I will get a call. Hey, my father's name was Charlie. They'll go. I don't know why. Now it's the point. You go through sadness, bitterness, because my father. Let me just say, my father's finances. I'd much rather be Nicolas Cage right now than my father's finances, because his finances are terrible. His finances are terrible.
Not much of an estate.
My father's house was like a house of cards, but without the house of cards. Thank you. So I had, you know, the grief and the bitterness and all. And now it's funny to me. Do you just talk into the baby and see if it answers questions?
How is his estate right now?
How is your bath?
He's unhappy.
Yeah,
he's running a fever. So anyway, you're taking phone calls.
So I have to do that thing where they go, "Hey, Charlie, how are you doing?" And I say, and then you always start because you don't know how to break into the.
Yeah.
You don't know how to say, because you just go, "Well, there's a lot of."
Do you have that thing where you, because here's what this makes me think of, that right. If I'm in your shoes, I'll be at my dad's house for the holidays, and people will think I'm my father when I pick up the phone. They'll be like, and it was really weird, because in a similar situation, my dad had a heart attack, and I took his cell phone away from him, and I was, he left this message or whatever. There's a sales guy, he's a service tech, so he repairs anesthesia machines. There's a sales guy who deals with the client, and the client would contact him and say, hey, we got a machine that's having an issue, blah, blah, blah. He leaves this long message of just berating my father and saying, I don't know what your effing deal is, this. And he's just going nuts.
Because he hadn't shown up to work?
Yeah.
Well, are you serious?
Hadn't serviced this machine. Now, father has gotten multiple raises because he's the only guy who has 123% efficiency by their little rating system.
Wow. And he can be above.
Well, here's how he does it. He cheats it. So what he does is he's able to crank through more machines than anybody else because he doesn't do it by their little by-the-book way. No. He developed his own way that's faster, and so nobody cares because the machines don't fail. He fixes everything the way it's supposed to be fixed, and they love it, right?
Right.
So this guy leaves him this long message, and then I call him back, and I say, hey, Paul, and he goes, where the hell have you been? Mm. He goes, what the hell is your problem? You're being a real asshole, you understand? I go, well, I'm going to stop you there. He's like, no, you're not.
Awesome.
Yeah, you're not going to stop me because what could you be doing that's so busy? I mean, how many service calls? You can't even return a phone call to me. And I'm like, hold on, Paul, hold on. And it's not helping that I know the guy's name because he still thinks I'm my father.
Right.
And I go, Paul, hold on a second. He goes, no, I'm not going to hold on a second. I'm pissed off. And I said, this is Justin. I'm Jesse's son. He had a heart attack. I just yelled over him, and he didn't hear me. I go, Paul, stop. Paul, stop. And then he stops, and I go, this is Justin. I'm Jesse's son. I don't know if you remember. We met once or twice. I said, my father had a heart attack. He's been in the hospital for the past 3 days. And the guy there was silence.
Oh, man.
Silence That's on the best. Other line. And here's what I know. Because of who my father is,
right.
I know that Paul is on the other line trying to play through the scenario to think if it's still my dad.
Right.
Exactly what I know. It's not himself. Because if you knew this Paul guy, like my father's also described him, he's a self-absorbed prick. You know what I mean?
Clearly.
So it's not like he's sitting there trying to think, oh, what can I do? Like, oh, man, I'm a jerk. No, he's going...
What hospital?
Is he screwing with me? What hospital is it?
What room?
And then maybe a good 8 seconds passes of silence. I know that my dad has kind of a love-hate relationship with this guy. Right. And so for my father, I let him stew in it. Like, I don't try and fix it. I just let him sit there in the silence. And then he goes, wow, I'm a real dick. I said, no, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. There's no way for you. He's like, well, no. He goes, I left him this voicemail. And then, of course, I couldn't let him off the hook because I'm my father's son. I go, yeah, I got the voicemail. And he goes, oh, no. He goes, I didn't know. I said, yeah, but hey, stuff happens, you know.
And way to assume the worst.
Exactly. And I said, he goes, but oh, man, is there something I can do? And I kind of jokingly said, next time you can give my dad the benefit of the doubt and know that there might be a reason why he's not doing his job that he does better than anybody. And he's like, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm way sorry. I just got, and I go, it's okay, dude. I'm just kidding you. It's all right. Let it go. My dad's fine. Everything's going to be cool. So do you have that situation when these people are calling you and they think that you're your dad?
Well, the weird thing is they don't think I'm my dad because my father, as he was on oxygen and his voice was a little bit more weaker. I mean, and still just sound a little bit different. But I have to tell them, and it's always so weird. Yeah. And there's that hemming and hawing, and then you tell them. And the weird thing is, here's the thing. Me and my wife, we're just like, hey, my father's dead. Burn him up. Put him in an urn. Put him in the garage.
Yeah.
And we're just, that's how my mother was cremated, and that's how we are. And I made a YouTube tribute for him. Everything's great. But other people will go through these weird scenarios on what we should do. Like, if your father was in the military, you should investigate a 21-gun salute. Because if he was in the military, that's a really nice thing to do. It's a really... I don't want to investigate that. Who are you? And these are people I've talked to once in my life. You know, and then bizarro things and different things we should do. And it's like, no.
That's it. It's always so weird how people can react to that. And that it's to me, it's also parallel, and you can relate to this too, is that to me, it's parallel to how people tell you how to raise your kids. Like, there's these certain situations where, weirdly enough, people should have no input whatsoever, and yet they feel like they should be able to inform you, and that's the time that they decide to voice their opinion. And I'm talking about good, not, like, compassionate people. They'll just put them in this situation where it's, and you be honest, I hope you don't mind, but it's like when Kevin lost his mom, almost three years. Yeah. When I had to fight that urge, because I had this urge that I'm like, I got to find a way to fix this. I have to find a way to fix it. And so instead of doing that where I'm like, I'll call him and I'll bug him, I just focus that energy into researching what is the process of grieving online and educating myself so I could figure. And the first thing it says is that don't go after them. Just sit there and be ready to listen. That's all you can do, is just be ready to listen. And so that's, thank God that I thought of that first. Because otherwise I could have been this jerk who's like, listen, the best thing for you to do is investigate a military funeral.
My mom wasn't even in the military.
But she loved the 4th of July.
No, that's true.
She also loved a good show, right?
Yeah,
okay,
that's true. All right.
I think we can make a few phone calls, get somebody from Young and the Restless out there.
I have a couple of guns. I might have to shoot the same three guns seven times. Yeah. Well, I think it's when people offer those sort of things is because they think that somehow the spirit of your father is watching, and you want to please him by having, you should be aware of this in case he's gonna be around and gonna show up in a ghost.
Well, then they should just get every episode of Law and Order SUV on tape and cremate it and put it in with my father's ashes.
That would make him happy.
This is all I want to tell all the folks listening today, and you two here. If anyone knows of anybody that works art direction or on a Dick Wolf show, I want to get my father's urn back in the scene when there's some kind of vicious rape going on.
Awesome.
Because, or better yet, if somehow my father's urn could be used in the vicious rape, because really, they've, on the SUV, you know there's going to be a rape somehow. Or it's SVU, Special Victim. I always want to say SUV.
SUV,
yeah. It's SVU.
I thought it was a new show.
I know.
They had a tie-in with Toyota or something.
Where they rape sports utility vehicles.
It's the, and the oil companies. That's what it is.
They're, those poor oil companies. Yeah, always getting picked on.
They get it hard.
But see, that's all my father, he would watch that and Fox News. If we could also sprinkle my father's ashes in Bill O'Reilly's eyebrows. These are the two things that would be a dream for him.
If we could convince the Bill O'Reilly that your father's ashes would help him regrow his hair, like if and he could,
it's
just
like a Rogaine. My father's ashes are a new fantastic type of Rogaine.
Yeah, and then he could just put it on there.
But
and
then they would become so valuable because there's just a finite amount of them that
millions.
Oh, it would just be.
And
huge.
Then that would fix his estate.
It would be like unobtainium on Pandora. See, now you're gonna start asking me questions.
I don't know that one. It was good though.
Can you?
Did you read a review on Avatar?
All I know is I saw when they said the name of the mineral is unobtainium.
Yeah.
Come on. Have you guys done anything about this yet?
No, we haven't talked about that.
The name of the thing is unobtainium. We can't even get it. It's so rare. It's unobtainable. It's unobtainium. Come on.
There's a lot of aspects to that movie. Albeit I did enjoy it, but there's a lot.
I love Pandora. Yeah. I'm crazy for Pandora. I am now having fantasies about Zoe Saldana, but as she's 10 foot and blue, you know,
there's no way you could please her.
Yeah,
that's all I can think about. I'm like, she's hot.
I know.
And the skin.
Once
looks
you
so
go Pandora,
smooth.
You don't go back.
Really? You've heard that?
I've heard that. I see both of you right now. But see, that's the thing that's so funny about James Cameron. He's so fantastical with technical stuff.
Yeah.
And yet...
he's going to make it look amazing.
It's look amazing, but...
But then you're going to have unobtainium.
Unobtainium.
I feel like the guy...
like the MacGuffin.
The writer's assistant who helped him put together this story, like, came to him and said... yeah, James, we got to come up with a name. People don't like the idea of it just being called Crystal. They feel like that's not okay. They want to give it some kind of name, you know, like adamantium is cool. Like it's a metal that they made up for Wolverine. Like we need something. Well, okay, well, it's hard to get. Almost unobtainium. Is that...
Listen,
really, James? You don't want to spend more time?
I gotta go work on my red camera. It's unobtainium.
Yes, it's unobtainium.
You don't want to spitball that a little bit in your hotel room?
Shut it out.
Maybe I'm working on my fifth wife. Come on. They're all gonna be directors or actresses that are successful, and then I'm gonna meet them in the Academy Award against her. Isn't that weird that his ex-wife?
The only wife that I knew of is Linda Hamilton.
No,
does he have
Catherine
others?
Bigelow, who directed The Hurt Locker, was his ex-wife.
Really?
Yes.
So he has like this Midas touch of Oscars?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Is it a thing where he marries them and then divorces them and then they win an Oscar?
What he does is he marries them and it's like a film project. So after 4 years, the project's done.
And then he's like, I'm done.
Then he's done, you know, because I think he's had like 4 or 5 wives. I'm not sure. Yeah. I think.
Really? Yeah. I only thought it was like a couple.
No, it was Catherine Bigelow, Linda Hamilton, and then there was some.
Is that why she wasn't in Salvation?
No, he didn't even have anything to do with Salvation. In fact, I think he was quite not happy with the fact.
Yeah, I believe it. I really like, and maybe this is shifting gears too much, but I'm a huge fan of that rant that Christian Bale went off on that lighting guy or whatever that made it on YouTube.
What do you mean by fan?
Here's the thing. It's a little bit skewed. Is that I also like listening to the Howard Stern Show. And a lot of times when the combination of Robert and Robin, which is, I think, what I said, and Rob Byrne. But anyway.
I wonder what you were going to say. Let's move back to that.
Okay. When Robin is doing the news and somebody has some kind of an achievement, they just play Christian Bale. Oh, good for you.
You just really like that. That's not so much the.
But I just like the sound of his voice. Because it's so funny that his voice sounds sarcastic and pompous enough, so when he adds an extra layer of it, you know what I mean, like that whispery tone with this weird accent that nobody understands, it's like I'm trying to do Keanu Reeves, you know, like it's like he'll go, oh, good for you.
It's so awesome.
Are you done? Like, it just, every time it gets me, I laugh out loud. Oh, good for you.
See, but the guy did it wrong. As soon as the celebrity starts making fun of you, you just start to weep and urinate.
Yeah.
Because then everybody's on your side.
Yeah.
If you're just tears streaming down your face and you're urinating, and just urinating,
you're just another victim.
And you're just another victim, and you're just say, and you just say, and you just all of a sudden, in a hushed tone, you just say, I saw Batman 10 times. That's why I wanted to be on this movie. I saw Batman 10 times.
I love you so much. Oh, good for you.
That's what he gets for fighting him.
Oh, man.
Now, I understand you're a big comic book fan, though. Is that correct?
No.
What?
Oh. Who said that?
I think you're thinking of somebody else that we were talking about potentially having. Michael, we have on the show because of a connection that I have through Barbara Holiday. That we did Uncle Clyde shows together, we did a few college gigs. But my favorite gig that I've done with Michael thus far was when we did, Barbara set it up for us to do a Narcotics Anonymous convention.
Oh my gosh, I can't even remember that. I was nuts.
That was great. The show was, I was hosting, Dave Reines, which is Barbara's boyfriend, was featuring, and Michael was headlining. And what Michael does is he would, I guess, be considered kind of, and I hope this doesn't seem like an insult, but like a novelty comedy.
Well, it's weird because it's like, here's the thing, that it's like when my wife found out that I happened to do juggling tricks before we were married, she thought I would never want to be with that person or even come see his show. And it's like people despise anything novelty or juggler-esque. Yeah. But then, I mean, I've got to put this on my Facebook page. The validation I have is like, you know, it's like now I do Cartoon Dump with Frank Conniff. He's a fan, you know, and I do the Tomorrow Show. And then Patton Oswalt, who I just adore, he saw my show, part of it, when I was doing Cartoon Dump. And then during his show, he went off on how much he loved my show.
Yeah.
And so then it was cool. Gratifying.
It's very funny. Like, I think it's the same thing. Like, 'cause I opened for Heath Heitch, who was on the show earlier this year, and he does like a one man sketch show. And I think that genre, if you would, of comedy gets a bad rap, like a horrible rap. Like, it's genuinely funny. It's unfair that regular, I guess, quote unquote, monologists or stand-up comics give
it such
a... But
there's just as many bad stand-ups as not stand-ups, and just as many bad novelty acts as not novelty acts.
And, well, to me, I feel like I have yet to see, and I'm sure there are many out there, but I feel like that monologist comics or stand-up comics will say that they're cheating or whatever, and I just think that's unfair. The whole objective is to make people laugh.
Right.
Steve Martin, he was a novelty act.
Exactly.
Penn and Teller are hilarious in the novelty act.
I didn't know that until I read the book that he just had, because I wasn't really familiar with his stand-up. Yeah, exactly.
I went and saw him at Pine Nub when I was a child, you know?
Did he dance on a table?
No, he did not, but I was in his fan club, and I have a whole notebook full of my little fan certificate that says I am a fan. And then when he was shooting Parenthood in Orlando, I said hello and got his autograph. He was very nervous, but he was very into, you know, he would it wasn't an autograph. We just asked for a quick picture, and he was very obliging. But he seemed very. Performing is one thing, and then real life is another thing.
It's different.
Separate, yeah.
Because that's the thing. When I read that and I found out about him, I was like, why would anybody even look at this and not think it's hilarious? Because everybody, I have yet to meet a comic that doesn't respect Steve Martin when he was doing stand-up. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they may say, oh, he's doing the Pink Panther movies, that's crap or whatever. But as far as his stand-up when he was doing that, always top shelf.
Yeah.
I can't remember what got me. Oh, so we're at this Narcotics Anonymous show, and I can't remember what exact... Oh, that's what it was. Michael does a segment of his act where he balances a wheelbarrow on his chin. Mm. And he comes with this huge wheelbarrow, like a full-size wheelbarrow. And my favorite line of the night was that he builds into it, you know, and he goes, now, this is just for you guys. You know, I wouldn't do this for AA. Only the people that do the hard stuff.
Oh, yeah, I get something like that. Yeah.
At the Narcotics Anonymous show.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
that's
it
great.
Killed. It destroyed. And I still, if it pops into my head, will chuckle at that to this day. I would never do that.
It was great.
He was lifting a wheelbarrow onto his face. And he put it down. He goes, no, I just want to tell you, I would never do this for AA. This is only for people who do the hard stuff. And he goes right back to it.
And they thought it was hilarious.
Oh, of course. That's great. How could you not?
That was a psychotic. To me, that was a psychotic show because you just looked in the audience and you just saw, like, you know, people that, like, crack whores were out there.
Yes.
And, like,
oh, man.
There were people, like, there was one dude that looked like a pimp.
Yeah.
Now that you're saying it to me, I just remember, the weird array of, like, hardcore meth addicts.
Yes, Ooh. It's the one show that, and this may be somewhat insulting, but I think in the back of my mind, I feel like when I go to certain areas that... The reason why it's okay for me to be on stage is that I'm in the top 5% of most interesting people that are in the room right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what in this room I had no chance.
You were in the bottom five.
I felt like it was that what made me entertaining was that I was so uninteresting to them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like compared to what we've done.
You know what?
This is what normal people do.
He doesn't have sores. Look at that guy.
He wakes up in the morning.
I'm a freak show because I don't have Mark like Trail Marks.
Right.
You know?
Awesome.
But it was great because also part of it is that there is this immense like positive vibe to it and everything, and that made it fun.
That's awesome. So Michael, you are an oceanographer though, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, here we go.
That part is well, oceanography reference. I'll read about it right now. It's my phone. This is the ocean I'm showing.
He has the planet Earth.
I think it's a screensaver on your dad's iPhone.
My father didn't personalize his phone. What does he care?
I think it's hilarious that your father, in the twilight of his life, has quite possibly the most advanced cell phone that you could get.
He sadly had his iPhone for, I think, 2 months of his life. I think 2 months, yeah. And my favorite part of it was I showed him how to plug in his stocks on the little thing. He had like $8,000 in stocks, but way more debt. He should have never
Why even bother?
Yeah, why even bother?
Well, in case they really took off. Nabisco.
You never know. And so he would go, oh, this is great. I can check my stocks on my phone. Now I don't have to buy the newspaper.
You've saved 35 cents.
And he tried to text me once, and he never could figure out the send part. I would always show him how to do it. And then one time I got a text. It was like THFBZ. He would spell things out but not look at the thing. And, you know, if you're old and your fingers aren't correct
on the iPhone touchscreen, it's hard.
Yeah,
you know,
the iPhone, this is part of my act. I'm going to break into it right now.
Oh, here it goes.
Are you ready? You know, the iPhone touch phone, people with really long fingernails said they don't like it because they can't reach it. And so
it doesn't react.
So basically, whores and zombies, because there's electrical. You need the electrical, and zombies don't have
it. They can't have
it. Or zombie whores. They both.
Oh. They're in a real bind.
Short section.
It was an 80s band, right?
Zombie whores.
Can a zombie whore use a droid, or is it the same touch screen?
Oh, yeah, because they're non-human. So droid is non-human.
Yeah. Oh, so it works for them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she's in the commercial, a little robot finger. The answer to your real question is no.
I love the real entertaining of a question of the zombie horde. Because I feel like it would take a lot. Like, who... I mean, that's a big win for the necrophiliacs out there.
If you could Have you ever heard the Gnarls Barkley song, Necrophilia?
Yeah, no, yeah, I have it. I can dig it up.
I love St. Elsewhere. That's one of my favorite
that's
albums.
That's good, yeah.
But if you're... That's like your utopia. That's like
oh,
all
I'm
of a sudden...
Sorry. It's a call from Gnarls Barkley, not to mention them on the air. I just unhip them. They just told me they're going to give me 10
you just,
grand.
You just lost your contract?
No, they're going to give me 10 grand and never mention them again.
They saw a huge dip.
CeeLo is personally coming up with new lawn work for me so that I don't mention him again. And it's exciting that I even know the word CeeLo.
I don't even know what it is. It cracks me up that you have this immense awareness of these things.
See, this is the thing that's sad. I know a little bit about everything. It's then impressive. When you start telling me deeply.
Beyond that initial reference. Like
I know everything. I know everything skin deep. That's all. I go no further than the epidermis. Is that the dermis? Is that the dermis we're talking about?
Yes, yes.
Because anymore, I don't know any of the dermises. The epidermis is the last dermis I know.
Well, it's nine layers deep, so.
Yeah, I know the first layer, the epa. Don't ask me anything else.
But is the next one like didermis? Like, how does it, how
See,
does it break
words.
Down?
That's yeah. all I know. I don't know.
But it,
let me ask the droid.
Oh, thank you. Oh, please, please do. What is it then that you are passionate about then? Is there something that you are quote unquote nerdy about that you like get into?
Chess.
That's the weird thing. You know, I think it's because I like to know a little bit about everything.
That's what you're nerdy about.
I'm nerdy about
that
a little bit about everything. I read Wired Magazine. I love tech. I love weirdo tech
gadgets. But you only read like the first paragraph of every article?
That's the thing. In a newspaper, if it says turn to the next page, I will not. It's a Jim Gaffigan thing. Yeah. I mean, but it, even though Jim Gaffigan does it, we all love it because it's true. Yeah. Not for me.
Yep. Guess I'll never know.
You know, and it's like, and I think because I do like doing novelty tricks. I always am practicing new tricks and weird tricks because it's fun because it's one, it's physical because I'm a fat man. And I like, I mean, I want to try
is that
to stay
how you get your exercise?
Man.
You get some cardio in, do some stuff with your hand.
Here's something. I practice at the gym sometimes, you know, and I've done this for 15 years. And I have tons of friends at the Valleys in Studio City. And so I'm practicing and I have my headphones on. Other people come in and they might do boxing a little bit loud or some other people might skip rope. You can hear the little skip rope. Yeah. And I was dropping a few things as I was trying a new trick. And if that was disruptive, say you didn't have headphones on and that dropping was disruptive, what would you do?
I'm at a gym.
You're at a gym.
Somebody's dropping stuff.
And it's like, oh, you know, I'm working out and that's disrupting me. What is your action? What would you do?
I would say, I'm also kind of non-confrontational, but here's the thing. I think out of the box, it's already a bad situation that I'm even being disrupted. How can you be disrupted during a workout? Like, what exactly? And you're in a public arena.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's saying that I don't like that you're reading next to me at this library.
And everything is fine because I've done this and many people know that I do this. The gym staff and the powers that be, the gym overlords, as I like to call them, they allow it. All of a sudden, I'm standing there practicing. This guy, I'm right next to like the little 5-pound weights. He comes up, he grabs a 5-pound weight and starts throwing it at my feet.
Oh,
like
wow.
About a foot away, like four of them. And then he looks at me and I take off my headphones and he goes, "Are you so clueless you don't know you're loud?" And I go, "Hey, easy, man. If you would have just said something, I would have stopped." Fine. And he walked back over and started exercising. And I packed up my stuff and I just went over. If you would have just talked to me like a human being, I would have stopped. I mean, that's all you needed to do. And he goes, "Well, you're a gentleman." So
he showed you.
I don't understand.
Look, I mean, it's like he was upset that I was so accommodating. I stopped.
You are the first person that was ever able to kill someone with kindness.
You know, and so I said, if you would have asked, I would have stopped. And then he got even more irate. That's my favorite thing. It's like, and that's my new thing. It's like even doing heckling. A lot of times, my favorite. I was doing. You've done shows at El Cid, haven't you?
No, I don't think so. No.
Oh, El Cid is the craziest, weird,
really?
tough, because it's, one, a lot of comics with ennui, which is always terrible, and then drunks. And so there was one guy heckling.
Necrophiliacs.
Necrophiliacs. Then one guy was heckling all night, and so And everyone was doing that thing where they say, shut the F up, you know, and just trying to yell him down. So I get up there and he just mumbles a little bit. And I said, you know what, everyone, we really need to do a love circle and give him some support because he's acting out and we need to hug him and give him some compassion and love and kindness. And let's all go over there and really get in and give him some love and hugs. And the guy ran out.
Ah.
The thought of physical contact just freaked him out.
Wow.
Are you serious? I am serious.
Like a sliver, you pushed him out of the epidermis.
Yeah, because it's like, obviously, he liked that, you know, that confrontational thing. And as soon as somebody was like, let's find out what's going on with him, he's got a situation. It's not good at his house.
See, that's the gift that you have, is that you can pull off your level of sarcasm looks sincere. And that's what makes it hilarious to me, that like you could be up there going, no, let's like literally talk to this guy with nothing but like, this is obviously a joke, but it looks so real that this guy's like, no, I don't want that.
No, don't do it.
He throws down a 50 spot and blows out of there.
So he's throwing 5-pound weights at your feet as he runs out the door.
That's the other thing, like, why throw?
Because he was trying to make noise to show me how I.
But why throw it at you? You know what I mean?
Well, that was the weird part. Well, because so I could see it, I guess. I mean, it wasn't. It was a foot away from my foot. He wasn't throwing it at me, but he's throwing it close enough so I could try to hear it.
Yeah.
But it would bounce. I'd be afraid of it coming
at
me.
Well, the weird thing is, I'm doing like a little trick that weighs nothing, you know, and clanging a little bit. And these are weights. It's like, who's the weird? Like, there's a big glass at the ballet. Yeah. So it's like, who's the weird guy throwing weights on the floor? It's like he thought they were balls.
Do not bounce. Weight do not bounce. Weight stay down, not bounce. I'm always curious about this kind of behavior because I want to know who does it work out for? Like I had a road rage situation where a guy was throwing McDonald's at me from his car.
That's
on
awesome.
The 170.
Road rage?
Yeah.
I call that a lucky day. I'm doing the rolling down the window. Window now, and I'm actually doing the hand crank that no one has anymore.
What car do you drive?
It started. I thought I told this on the podcast before. It started out. We were heading up to Northern Compton. You don't. Even what it's happening. We were leaving here, and I guess that 3 or 4 car lengths isn't enough space when you're driving a brand new Hummer. So I think I'm assuming that he believed I cut him off. So he jumped around in the lane next to me, jumped in front of me, and then slammed on his brakes. Well, there was a carpool lane to the left, so I just pulled into the carpool lane because I could carpool. He was only one. He couldn't carpool, but that
like that would actually stop him. Yeah. Oh, I'm only one. I can't get over there.
Oh, foiled.
Unless you want to pay $371 up to that. so anyway, he pulls it, and when he does it, I think that because his windows are tinted that he can't see me, I probably didn't really care. I laughed because I just thought it was so laughable that I'm driving this little Toyota Corolla sports version, right? And he doesn't know what my gas pedal's going to do. And so he decides to slam on my brake. In his big brand new Hummer, clearly he has a better life than I do. So, and I laugh. I'm just like, really? You think you're intimidated? Like, you got to come after me? I'm like the puniest guy. And then that made him angry. So he pulled next to me and he rolled down
the
window.
In the carpool lane? You're doing the hand crank.
Yeah. I went into the carpool lane. He's in the fast lane and he rolls down his window. And the first thing to come out was a thing of fries. And I remember, like, in retrospect, I really do wish that, because Natalie was in the passenger seat, I wish that we could have rolled down the window, because he threw his hamburger, and he hadn't even touched it.
Awesome. I don't know why I find this so funny.
It's
here, take some money, too.
Yeah.
Here's some coins.
Yeah.
Here's a lot of valuable things. It was his stuff.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
so funny.
And he's not doing that well if he's shopping at McDonald's for lunch. He's driving around in a Hummer.
He's probably colored.
You know what? I know you were trying to be nice, by saying color, but it made it worse.
Really?
Yeah, why couldn't you just say black?
I thought it was the N-word they didn't like. Did I get my own letters wrong?
Just move on. I have to go take a shower.
He wasn't, by the way, just so I'm clear.
Racist host. I'm saying into my phone right now, racist host, to find out what I'm supposed to do. I'm African-American, just to let everyone know, so it's okay.
That's this is really awkward. Do you prefer the N-word?
Here's the thing. I used to do this. I would do this bit on occasion, and I would say the N-word, but when I'm doing a show, just whatever happens, happens.
Sure.
It was like, what if Garrison Keillor was on Def Comedy Jam?
Oh, man.
Hey, how my niggas in Lake Wobegon? Lake Wobegon. How come on. He goes, on Lake Wobegon today.
Now, I want to ask you more questions about that. You probably don't even know anymore past that.
Lake Wobegon? Because he's a big Prairie Home Companion fan.
Really? How can that even be possible? Who likes Prairie? Wow, next year you're going to take me like the Capitol Steps.
That's what I think. I always thought about that when I listened to that show. My father turned me on to that show, and the only thing I could think that could make that show interesting is his dulcet tones. Like, that's it. Like, there's something about his voice that goes, it lulls you into listening. Like, he has this thing that, like, there's a magic, like, subpar frequency that you can hear that makes you not want to reach for the dial.
When he's doing the Lake Wobegon stuff at the end, yes, I think it's an intentional choice. But otherwise, he's a brilliant guy. Like, he likes Stephen King, I would love to meet. Because when you listen to their stuff, they have jokes.
Is this because they look alike?
Yes.
Or?
And they're both, they have jokes buried within jokes. They do a lot of subtle things. They're very clever, very smart people.
But it's sort of like NPR, though, because sometimes I think they're so grandiose in their cleverness that they revel in their pomposity of cleverness. Wait, Don't Tell Me, I think, is terrible for that.
Yeah.
See, look, I know a little bit about everything, but don't ask me anything else.
So for the sake of wrapping up my road rage story, so this guy...
Garrison Keillor was there.
He was the one in the Hummer.
He's not black. I mean colored.
Thank you. That's the word we use on this show. You go on some other person's podcast, you can use some other derogatory term, but on here, we call them what they want to be called.
Yes, sir.
Chinks and colored.
So the 50s were horrible.
So he throws his hamburger, and I really wish, like, I talked about this actually on morning radio in Omaha, is that I wish I could have grabbed the hamburger because obviously my laughing at him made him angry. What level of anger could he be driven to if I was eating his lunch that he paid for?
What level of anger if it would have been me and I would have grabbed it and then started spinning it on an umbrella?
Right, because Michael has a bit where he spins the buns off of a hamburger on an umbrella.
Spin a cheeseburger on an umbrella. Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's been hard to drive and do that at the same time, though.
Don't doubt me.
That'll be your next trick.
Yeah, next Narcotic Anonymous.
Expected on YouTube next week.
What would be the step up from the Narcotics Anonymous show for you? Would it be like the suicide survivors? How does it, like, how intense of a person do they have to be that you would actually drive a Hummer and
I think that crowd would be really boring. The suicide. They wouldn't be very lively, at least the Narcotics Anonymous.
The suicide survivors?
Yeah.
I feel like they've recovered. I feel like they have a new birth and maybe they found like some Xanax or something.
I feel like they'd be really close to doing it again. They'd just be like,
it depends on how much they've survived.
Yeah.
How much of their soul is still intact? All right. Touche.
Because they chose being alive over being dead.
Well,
somewhere in there was
sometimes
a joke.
They don't choose. They get saved after they, you know.
Did you ever see that documentary about the people that try to kill themselves many of them succeed by jumping off the San Francisco Bridge?
Oh, I didn't see the documentary.
I have.
Clearly, neither did they.
Well, some of them did. They were in it. They
some
made
of them
it.
Live. How many live? Like a good poor.
In the show, if I remember off the top of my head, I don't know how many they showed actually jumping or what the number was. I can't remember. It was like a couple years ago that I saw it, but I think there were 8 or 10 or something that they had on the show that it actually survived.
Wow.
And the one that really sticks out of my head was a kid who was about 14 or 15, I think it was, maybe 16 when he did it. And he said that he went back to the rail, like away from the rail that he would jump over. And he says, and he goes, and I took like 3 steps. And I remember planting my hand on the rail. And as soon as my feet cleared the rail, I changed my mind.
Oh, wow.
And it was too late.
Oh.
And he says, then you have a good 20, 30 seconds of just falling, where he says, you just feel this immense regret of like, oh crap, what have I done? And then he hit the water and survived. And so they were able to come and save him. And I guess he broke like some leg, bones in his legs and everything like that. And I can't remember if he's wheelchair bound now or I think I want to say he's
also in Murder Ball. He was playing. Yeah. He's in that documentary as well.
I love Murder Ball.
The game or the documentary?
What? I love the documentary.
The documentary, but you're not a fan of the actual game itself of Murder Ball.
No.
Yeah.
No. What was the documentary? Was it called Murder Ball?
Yeah.
It was called Murder.
Murder Ball. And but the game is also called Murder Ball.
Yeah,
am I wrong?
Think so.
Okay. Also true.
So yeah, that's we took a little dark turn.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable.
Really?
About with the mess. Yeah, wish we were protected.
Are you okay? Do you feel do you need to stay here tonight? Or
that'd be good.
What do you? Is it suicidal person? You're not supposed to let go to sleep, or is that a concussion?
That's a concussion.
That's a concussion.
They're very similar though. Okay. If they did it to themselves,
the concussion. Then they can't sleep.
Right. Don't let them lay down.
Oh, boy. All right.
So how do you invent new tricks? Where does that inspiration come from?
It's sort of... the weird thing is, right now, my show is basically, much like Justin said, I sort of have tricks, but then it's always the weird improvs that happen throughout the show. Like, I just had a show at El Segundo High School, and it was supposed to be a family show, but the other two comics, Die Stanky and Gala... they forgot that it was family. And even though they didn't swear, they were doing... I mean, there's 8-year-olds in the audience, you know, 10-year-olds, 4-year-olds, adults, and they're doing, you know, period jokes and
family friendly.
And you're not talking about historical jokes. Period. Yeah, just so we're clear.
You're not talking about historic
masturbation. I couldn't believe it. They did stuff about the 1800s, and we told them it was family. I was shocked.
Well, the 1800s, it's a racy period. You'd think everybody would know that.
I know.
Filled with colored people.
You know.
And, I think when you're referring to them during that time period when they're actually enslaved, I think they don't like it. I don't know. I wish I did. Maybe you should ask your phone.
I thought you're going to drop the N-bomb there. I'm like, wow, he's going to do this.
No, I'm good.
Just for podcast clarification, my family's from Ireland. I came here around the 1920s. Just
so you're,
for
you did? You came here? How old are you?
My ancestors. I'm the Stot. I'm part of Anne Rice's Undead because everyone's a vampire these days.
I didn't see you in the daylight.
Wait, are you saying you're colored and you're from Ireland?
That's right. Yeah, I'm one of the colored Irish.
Isn't there a song called that? Color Me Irish.
So you're at this high school and you're doing a show and they did that.
Yeah, it's just always... And so I had to dig out of a hole where I saw a lot of people, you know, obviously upset. So I just was weird and freaky and doing crazy.
But you didn't go blue, tricks. Right? You stayed...
No. What I did was I just was nuts, you know? And the only
10 minutes of you just going...
It was for like the band. It's always for the band. They're the people that need money. And so my favorite... this isn't even part of the show, but I remembered it. And as comics, we always like our own humiliations, and that's why I think people like comics that are self-aware and always like all their humiliations, and ones that are, you know, are brag we don't like. Right. But so when I was in fifth grade, they came in and said, "Hey, we're going to be next year. You're going to sixth grade. Why don't you tell us all what instrument you want to play in the marching band?" and you had to do this so out loud, and I'm getting a panic attack. Going to say it again because it's so humiliating. I got to take a breath. I said the piano because I had no idea piano wasn't in the marching band. And there's laughter and humiliation and like even the teacher looked at me. Hey, dumbass, can you not even understand that you can't lug a piano on your back or some kind of weird baby Bjorn piano in there? What are you going to do? What are you?
You don't know what you're capable of.
That's what I'm saying. I was on the juice when I was in fifth grade. So
I had a couple power bars.
I was like McGuire. I was fifth grader, but I had no neck. I could just put the piano. I could just one hand and play one-handed piano because I was so strong.
You invented the accordion. Am I right?
That's true.
We have to make this possible for mere mortals.
I know.
And so they came up with the accordion.
Mere mortals.
So I told them that. And then, the other thing that I told them, because it was all high school and band nerds, I was like, and this happened 2 days ago. I was driving my 8-year-old home, and she's in third grade, and she's going, "You don't understand. Natalie said, you're out to me like that, you know, in that tone. Like she was saying, you're out. You don't understand what it's like to be a kid, to be this." And I said, "Listen, from the time I'm in kindergarten until I graduated high school, I was 100% nerd. I was put down, beat down, yelled at, treated poorly for those 13 years of my life. I do understand." And she goes, "Being a nerd's hereditary?" she thought it was catchy.
Oh, no.
And now she's worried.
She's
this is all your fault. I'm unpopular because of you.
And so her teenage years have begun early.
"You're a girl. You're blonde. You're really cute. You're going to get laid. Don't worry about it."
How old is your daughter?
8 years old.
Awesome.
I want to get it started early, you know.
Right, get it out of the way.
Get it out of the way.
Because if they keep like holding on to it, then they're going to find the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Their pickings are going to slim down, you know. You don't want them to...
Oh, and here's the... all my life is just about one tangent to the other. And speaking about girls, I did a church show. I do a lot of church shows. I do a clean show. But then with the guys that picked me up, I was talking about having daughters and worrying about when they're older. And then he said the creepiest thing I'd ever thought a church guy could say. This is what I find even more creepy. And he goes, you know what I tell my little daughters when they go down to sleep?
Oh, gosh.
And I got worried right then. I go, what? And he goes, I tell them, just marry a guy like Jesus. Just marry a guy like Jesus. I don't want my daughters wanting to bone Jesus. Do you want your daughters wanting to bone Jesus? I don't. And that was that. Is that not creepy to you guys?
Yes, that's very creepy.
It's like, and how he said it was, just, I just whisper in their ear, just marry a guy like Jesus. And
good luck finding him.
And
he's too.
And I'm like, no, don't marry a guy like Jesus. You couldn't worship Jesus. I'm cool with that. Yeah. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
But marriage to Jesus? No.
Yeah.
No, because then you're...
All the churches just call and they ask you not to talk about Jesus anymore. Because you're going to be down
with it. You just made
it.
Islam the most popular.
Exactly.
I have to go to Iowa to do a church show coming up, and I'm all excited. I love my church people. I love my Christian people. I'm all good with that. But when you say creepy things to me, it freaks me out.
That's unsettling.
Because I feel like that sometimes you get people who think that just because they say the word Jesus, that means it has nothing but the best of intention. But in that execution,
that was
super
creepy. And I mean, I would
unless he wants them to be a nun, isn't that the idea of being a nun that you're married to God?
Yeah, you know what
I mean.
But he was Protestant, so he hates the Catholics.
But don't we all?
I don't know anybody that does. I'm trying to think. I think my grandmother does. She hates the Catholics. She hates Catholics. But she also hates Protestants, I think, too.
What is she like?
Herself.
She's Lutheran, isn't she?
No, she's some kind of...
Not your Lutheran grandmother that ruined your wedding to go to a Lutheran church.
No, that's not her. She's not Lutheran.
They're not Lutheran?
She's Christian.
They don't have a denomination?
No, they just it's theirs.
They're weird.
How dare you? My grandmother is fantastic. She's a great woman.
She ruined your wedding.
She did not ruin my wedding. Natalie ruined my wedding by showing up a half hour late.
I thought you were just going to say.
How did she show up?
By showing up.
A half hour late?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'd really
my grandmother was religious. We had to get married on a Sunday because I wanted to keep the same anniversary.
Not Lutheran. Right.
Not Lutheran, but she's like, I don't want to miss church. And so I said, well, what if we had the ceremony early so that she could go and then go to church and then come back and catch up with the reception, right? Well, Natalie doesn't show up until like a half hour, 45 minutes late because she couldn't find her keys that she left in the hotel room or somewhere. So now we're like, it blew the whole thing, the whole reason.
But trust, you can't say, hey, I can miss church for a wedding. You can't.
Well, nope. Yeah, that's
not
I mean,
this lady.
My father got a little angry because evidently they had missed church one time to take a Vietnamese family that my grandfather had met fishing that was new to the country.
Ooh.
They had missed church for that, but they, and here's the thing.
Well, I understand that.
I don't want to come out being anti-.
Because the Vietnamese can do with a fish meal is amazing.
It's pretty good.
I think that's what he
they
was
actually
going
turn
for.
It into steak. It's pretty great.
Knowing my grandfather, they probably paid for the whole thing. So that's why he was like, well, come on. I mean, we go there, we tithe, we go to the Vietnamese, we get a free meal, and they pay for the fishing trip. Come on, it's win-win-win.
So you should have paid for them to be at your wedding.
Ooh.
And supplied Vietnamese
You're about
fish.
8 years too late, my friend. 8 years too late. But we got to wrap
it
up.
Turn back time.
Talking to your droid. That'll make it happen.
There you go.
It's a Vietnamese time machine.
Michael, is there anything that you want to plug or like a website that you
or
want to
unplug.
Give out that people can find
we
you?
We are completely open.
MichaelRainer.com. That's my website.
How do you spell
and,
it?
It's MichaelRayner.
E-R.
I said it correct, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Because
yes.
I worry, because I have a Michigan accent, and so sometimes my...
Oh, you say like smoking or non, or...
It's not as Minnesota-y, but it's still...
But you do like Garrison
Keillor.
See how
he passively judged your accent?
Yeah, I know.
I've been talking to a lot of Michigan people since my father died, and I'm like, holy crap, this is how we sound? It's terrible.
Sound, mom. No,
it's just such a terrible... And my wife's British, so she has such a... Oh, and I do want to plug my wife.
Oh, wait
a second.
You can do that after the show.
You can always go to morequirk.com. She was the, I always say this at every show, she was the host, the co-host of the Nickelodeon show Guts and Global Guts.
That's right.
All right.
And it's my favorite thing to plug because whenever I say that it shows, like young nerdy boys, like, there is hope.
I wish you could see the excitement in his face because he does. Every show that he does, he goes, by the way, like my wife was the host of Guts and people will remember.
Totally.
Like
remember,
they called her Mo on the show and everything and she's beautiful, you know.
Yeah, very
I always have to feel why is it that you have to say no offense when you say somebody's wife is beautiful?
I don't know. That's not offensive.
Not offense, I guess, because I always feel like who really, though, amongst my friends is going to think you're hitting on my wife? You're hitting on my wife?
I think it's a compliment to compliment somebody's wife.
You made elongated eye contact with me, so I'm going to think we should punch each other in the face.
You're from Alabama.
Strangely enough, that's where my wife's from.
I thought you said from Britain.
Well.
Alabama, Britain. Where do you think they got the name from?
I don't know if I should secretly out her right now.
Really?
It's all an act.
No, she was born in America, but then immediately was whisked off to England when she...
She's a princess.
When her mom married her stepfather. So she's a fake Brit.
Does she have dual citizenship?
Sadly, the Brits, because she was in America two years and one day, when she went back, they stamped her tourist.
Yeah. Wow. In England, they stamped her.
So she was 2 years old in one day.
You know. So this was when she was in England for like most of her life until she was 20 something, and then she came to America and stayed 2 years and a day.
And then lost her citizenship.
And so she lost her British citizenship. Oh wow! Because of that. Yeah, so that's...
Prior to that, though, she had...
No, this whole citizenship... Wow, I mean, I know we have to wrap it up now. We're going long. But this whole citizenship thing, to me, I feel like, what's the big deal? Like, do we live in a world where they're like, we don't want you mixing with us?
I don't know.
You can't come here anymore?
Trust me, I know not.
I've heard of friends that are getting deported from America, and it's like, it's never the people that I think, in my opinion, like, that should be deported. You know what I mean? It's always the people
People that are contributing to a society
or working. To me, porters should be deported.
Right.
That's who should be deported because they got the name Porter in them, and I don't like that.
Find them all in the phone book and get rid of those jerks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk more. Maybe we'll see if Moira would mind coming on the show. Maybe you guys come on together.
She would love it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's have you guys on together.
In fact, she's
right outside the door.
Yes.
Ta-da-ta! Ta-da-ta!
Why was she just standing outside this whole time?
He could show her off. Oh, he does that in the show. And that's what I was saying, he gets that elated look as you should, like a nerdy guy. Because I feel like I have claim to that, too. I mean, my wife is hot. She's a dancer, too. It's absolutely amazing. So it's when you get to tell people that it's like, look at what I did.
Well, here's the thing. And then it's so unrealistic in sitcoms where the hot woman is with the nerdy guy. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah. I'm sitting with two of them right now.
Yeah. Look, Mel Brooks and Bancroft, you know, the uber nerd and the hottest of hot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it. Marilyn Monroe, the playwright? Arthur Miller?
Yes.
Arthur Miller, you know?
Well, Marilyn Monroe, wasn't she also with like Joe DiMaggio too?
Yeah.
Who was like oh my gosh, that guy got hit in the face like crazy with an ugly stick. Like it would be a bat, a baseball bat. Right. How did you meet? Can we find out or real quick? Or how does?
We were both working at Universal Studios Florida. I was doing my show in the earthquake section.
Oh, nice.
San Francisco section.
Inside
Orlando.
I call
it the earthquake because it was right next to the earthquake ride. And we met doing shows with SAC Theater. All my boys, Jonathan Mangum, give a shout out to him. You should have him on the show.
Okay.
Very funny.
All right.
And we met doing improv and doing our shows at Universal. And then we hit the road. We packed up all our stuff, went all across Canada doing shows. And then,
as a group or just the two of you?
Just me and Moira.
Oh, wow.
We wrote a show together called Where Are the Hands? And then,
that's cool.
And then we did shows all across Canada and then hit L.A. and stayed with friends of ours.
Oh, that's cool.
So what you're saying is that you accidentally got her pregnant through a drunken night on the road or
I
there was already
that
love
was
before.
The case. We should have had children younger.
How sweet.
Because we're tired. We're always tired.
I thought she's so perfect that I would have liked to pass my seat on with her earlier. But you're saying,
wow, you're
now we're
in the whole biology, passing seat on.
I don't even know what he's saying.
All right, let's end there then. On behalf of myself, Justin Worship, Kevin Miller, our fantastic guest, Michael Rader, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Everybody, thanks for listening. Okay, bye. Thanks for listening to the Second Funniest Podcast. You can reach us at 408-228-4911 or send us an email to podcast@justincomedy.com. Please, once a month, vote for us at Podcast Alley. Also, check out our store at cafepress.com/justincomedy. All this information is available at secondfunniestpodcast.com. Valentine's Day, I'm going to be at the Big Laugh event in Atascadero, California. February 11th, I'm going to be at the Ice House Main Room at 9 o'clock for the APLA fundraiser. I'm going to be at the Sacramento Punchline March 11th through 14th. The Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club in San Antonio, Texas, March 17th through 21st. April 28th through May 1st, I'm going to be at the Pechanga Casino with Darren Carter in Temecula, California. I'll be co-headlining at Wits End in Westminster, that's in Denver, near Denver, Colorado, July 14th through 18th. I'm going to be coming back to Rooster Teeth Feathers July 22nd through 25th. For all of my stand-up appearances, check out justincomedy.com. If you like this podcast, check out my other podcast called Dads Are More Fun. You could go to dadsaremorefun.com or just search for Dads Are More Fun in iTunes.